Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That is true. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. I am live. I am in Southern California, and this is hour number three. If all goes well, we go back to back to back. Coming up later on, the WBC heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder. In the last segment, I've got Seattle Seahawks defensive end, Jadeveon Clowney. Quick reminder, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. And right now, we are joined by a two-time Super Bowl champ, the 2010 Defensive Player of the Year, an eight-time Pro Bowler, 32 career interceptions, a member of the 2000s All-Decade Team. He was an All-American. He was the 16th pick overall in 2003 out of USC, a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he appears today courtesy of Head & Shoulders. Troy Polamalu is my guest. Troy, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Hi, Jim. How are you doing? Great to hear from you. And I didn't know you were in Southern California as well. Very nice, man.
That is nice, right? I've been here pretty much my whole life, Troy. It's good to be here. You know that. Listen, before we get into football,
before we get into
the Hall of Fame, before we get into Head & Shoulders, how is life for you in retirement, Troy? What's it like?
It's been great, thank God. You know, I've got two boys that are 9 and 11, so I've just really been trying to be the best father and best husband that I can be, and, you know, living out their dreams in sports and school and music and all that fun stuff. So it's been great.
You know, Troy, when you mention that, it's interesting because when teammates talk about you, one teammate after another talks about you as a man, as a friend, and as a brother. Before they talk about you as a football player, what does that mean to you?
Well, it means, quite honestly, everything to me, that those who, you know, most close to me really value me for who I am and not necessarily what I've done in my career or in my life. And I really sincerely appreciate that.
We're talking to Troy Polamalu. So as I mentioned, Troy, you were named a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame last week in your first year of eligibility. Anybody who watched you play would not be surprised by that. But anybody listening right now knows how humble and how modest you are. What does the honor mean to you?
Honestly, I've kind of been really indifferent towards, you know, receiving any type of, you know, an award or recognition, because for a sport like football, it's such a team-oriented sport. It's hard to really talk about individual players, especially coming from the team that I've been a part of, thank God, for the 12 years that I played with the Steelers. There's definitely more than a handful of players that I know that I've played with that are more deserving of this award, and I could even, you know, point out players on other teams that, you know, had they played with the James Harrisons, the Farriers, the Ike Taylors, and under Coach LeBeau, that perhaps could have been even more successful or just as successful as I've been.
Troy Polamalu is my guest. He's appearing today courtesy of Head & Shoulders, which I will get to in a moment. Troy, you mentioned the team that you played for. What did it mean to you to be a Pittsburgh Steeler? What did that represent to you?
It evolved over time. What's really funny is you're playing at USC for 4 years and then going on my pre-draft visit to Pittsburgh. It was just a miserable winter night. You know, I landed in Pittsburgh at like 11:30 at night and went to the hotel, and it was just, you know, that freezing rain. I remember calling my agent and be like, oh, I do not want to play here.
Right.
Anyway, his response was like, if they're going to draft you, you're going to go there definitely. I was like, all right, whatever. So anyway, as I moved to Pittsburgh and I understood more about the community, as I understood more about just the legacy of what it means to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, to me there was no better place, obviously, that I could have been a part of, being part of, you know, really the same sort of environment at USC that breeds greatness, that breeds, you know, sort of this sort of success.
Troy Polamalu is joining us. You know, and then you talk legacy, right? When I talk to guys, Troy, who played defense for the Steelers, they always talk about the legends who came before them. Who were some of the guys who inspired you? And then what does it feel like to know that you're a guy who inspires the guys who play the game right now?
So I think what's really funny when I talk to people about, you know, my experience as a child growing up and watching football is the first NFL game that I truly, like, watched was the first one I played in. I wasn't one to sit there and watch football every Sundays and remember players' names and all these sort of things. I just, whenever I saw it on TV, I was like, oh, I'm just going to go outside and play by myself. It just motivated me to play. So when I got drafted to the Steelers, and my friends are texting me like, oh, man, you got the baddest wide receiver. Oh, you got the baddest, you know, running back on that team. And they're throwing out these names. Of course, I'd heard of, like, Jerome Bettis and a lot of these names. But, like, I didn't know who Hines was, for example. And obviously, I learned really quickly in the first scrimmage that we scrimmage against each other out top of a off of a wide receiver he was. But I really didn't grow up really admiring a lot of the professionals because I didn't really watch much football.
Talking
and
Troy,
then on the other hand, you know, when people put me in that same sentence as them, it's really humbling now because I've learned, you know, a lot more about the NFL. I've learned a lot more about the Pittsburgh Steelers and Joe Greens and the whole 70s and movement of how much, you know, Pittsburgh had meant really to this country at that time. So it's very humbling for me, for sure.
We are talking to Troy Polamalu. So, Troy, do you follow it very closely right now? As an example, this Steelers team got off to a rough start this year when they were 0-3, but they've somehow won 7 of their last 9. Given the challenges they've faced this year, how do you explain a team like that turning their season away, turning it around the way they have?
So, I definitely catch the headlines, you know. and I think it's really an awesome coaching job, to be very frank, for the coaches to miss so much talent and to continue to be in a position to make the playoffs. You know, that's what this game's all about, because one thing that we had always kind of told each other internally is they never want to see us in the playoffs. They never want to see the Steelers in the playoffs because, you know, that's really where the guts come out, where the real personality of what the legacy of a Pittsburgh Steeler means to everyone. So when we get an opportunity to really display that in the playoffs, to us it was always a win-win situation. So for the current team to continue to put themselves in this position where they can, you know, make it to the playoffs, to me, it'll just show how dangerous they can really be if they do make that.
We're talking to Troy Polamalu for a few more moments. Now, Troy, one of the people you worked with in the Head and Shoulders campaign is Patrick Mahomes. Before I get to the campaign itself, and I will in a moment, as a legendary defensive player, when you look at a quarterback, and you look at a quarterback specifically in Patrick Mahomes' play, what do you think and what do you see in his game that sets him apart?
It seems now that there's so many more diversely dangerous quarterbacks. You know, I think, you know, when I was playing, they would like to put different quarterbacks in a box. So, man, that quarterback, you know, you can definitely just play all run, throw an extra man in the box and let the receivers and cornerbacks play one-on-one. And you know, they're not good enough to beat us one-on-one in that exit, or the vice versa. You know, let's force him to scramble, force him to move his legs. He can beat us throwing the ball. Well, it seems to me that there's a lot more quarterbacks now that are truly dangerous in every single area. They're just as good passers as good runner. And obviously, Patrick is that as well. And his creativity and what he allows to, you know, what he does actually from the quarterback position, I think, is really unique as well. But I don't think I could have played against any of these guys. How dangerous they are, you know, running the ball. And not only that, it's just the gimmicks and how they're able to really throw defenses into different mismatches and throwing you know, defenses into wrong gaps and whatnot. It's seems to be much more of a complex game than when I was playing.
Now, Troy, you are really active with your foundation, and I know that you're away from the game as a player. As you're away from the game, do you miss it, or do you feel like, you know what, that was great when I was playing, but it's great to be retired and it's great to do what I'm doing right now?
Oh yeah, it's great to be retired for sure. I don't miss the you know, necessarily the grind and the business of what football is. But I guess one thing that I do miss is an excuse to just train all day long. An excuse to get massages, an excuse for me to just, you know, work on me all day. You know, now that, as I said before, you know, I'm just trying to be the best husband and the best father as possible. There's not much me time as much as there was before. So, yeah.
I get that. In fact, there's something to be said. Like, if you're going to be great, especially at that, you have to be selfish. And it's kind of understood. Like, you have to be selfish and be all in and all committed. Now, you're working with Head & Shoulders as part of a new campaign now. Lay this out for me. What's it all about?
So it goes back to the old adage, you know, offense wins games, defense wins championships. Obviously, been part of a lot of great defenses throughout my career. And also, you know, had some really nice game-winning drives from offenses as well. But, of course, I'm making the campaign that defense wins championships for sure as well.
Offense wins games, defense wins championships. Troy Polamalu is a two-time Super Bowl champ, and he appears today courtesy of Head & Shoulders. Troy, whenever I can have you on this show, it's great. It's always good to get caught up, and I appreciate the conversation so much, Troy.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. And I just moved out here to the West Coast as well, so I'm definitely enjoying it out here. And I know people back in, you know, family back in Pittsburgh is enjoying that miserable cold weather right now. And I think we can both definitely say that it's no fun in that weather right now as we're soaking in a nice gloomy day, but beautiful here in California.
Hey, Troy, I'm not going to push you specifically, but are you back in Southern California, or did you find a spot in Northern California or Central California?
Oh, Southern California. I got to be near the water.
Got to. Good man. Well done. Well done. Welcome home. Welcome home, Troy. Great to have you back. Thanks so much. Good to have you back in Cali.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Troy Polamalu. I mean, just the epitome of class, dignity, humility, warrior on the field, absolute gentleman off, thanking me for my time? Troy Polamalu? He appeared courtesy of Head & Shoulders. And generally, because Troy is not a guy that's looking for that attention or publicity, that's how we find him. And I will take that every single time. Love talking to Troy. 1-800-636-8686, just in case. But we are scheduled to speak to Deontay Wilder next. Jadeveon Clowney after that. Busy third hour. And my thanks to Troy Polamalu. Let's go ahead and break. The WBC heavyweight champ. The Bomb Squad. Deontay Wilder joins us next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You heard that correctly. Troy Polamalu said the first football game he ever saw was the first game he played in. Unbelievable, dude. It is Dell's biggest Cyber Monday week ever for business. Save on powerful computers with Intel Core processors plus free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL, 877-BUY-DELL, or visit dell.com/SB Cyber Monday. As I mentioned, third hour is a busy hour. We're going to go back to back to back. We just had Troy Polamalu, who's up for the Hall of Fame. We are joined right now by the WBC heavyweight champion of the world, the Bronze Bomber, leader of the Bomb Squad. Defeated Luis Ortiz by knockout on November 23rd. He is now 42-0-1. 41 wins by knockout. Deontay Wilder is my guest. Deontay, good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, good to be back. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Super, man. I'm awesome, and it's great to have you back. Before we get to the knockout, which was incredible, can you take me back to earlier in that fight? The thinking outside the ring, Deontay, was Luis Ortiz was having success in the first six rounds. It was not going the way you would have liked. What were you thinking as you went through the first few rounds?
Well, going through the first few rounds, I knew that from the first experience with Ortiz that he was a great counter puncher, and you had to move strategically with him in the ring, because even with him, if you make a mistake, he will punish you. He will, you know, give sign back, you know. And I knew that coming in, so I had to be very patient, and I had to calculate my punches. I had to calculate my feet positioning was, it was a lot of things that took place in that moment in time. You know, as you can see, that I'm one of the hardest hitting punchers, they say, in history. You know, numbers don't lie. But I really, with him, it was all a setup. Everything was setting up. I'm a type of fighter that I could lose rounds and really don't care. I don't go in fights worrying about if I'm gonna lose this round, I'm gonna win this round, because I have something that all heavyweights want, and that's power. And when it came to that seventh round, was the same round he was successful in. It was the same round that I set him up with a beautiful. I mesmerized him with four jabs at the end of the 10 seconds. Four jabs. I came to an angle of him. I came with a faint jab and came right down the pipe with the right hand, and it was all of us. All was a setup leading all the way up to that point, and I executed perfectly. And you know, I'm just happy with the results and what happened, and to get the fans what they came to see. They came to see knockout, and I was telling people, don't blink, don't go to the concession stand, don't go to the bathroom, don't have a busy neighbor by you, because you know you don't know when it's coming, but it's coming, and when it comes, bam, baby, good night.
Deontay Wilder, the Bomb Squad, he is joining us right now. All right, so what did it feel like? You've been setting him up, and I think you make a great point, right? I would not say this about really anybody else, but given your power, maybe the scorecards don't matter a hell of a lot. Not when you have that kind of power. You had been setting him up. It was going as planned. What did it feel like when you connected with that particular punch?
I mean, I didn't at this moment in time, when I hit him at that specific time, I didn't feel nothing, you know. And that's the kind of weird thing about boxing, or I would say knocking someone out. You know, everyone has different structure in their face. You know, their bone structure is different. So when I hit guys, I get different feelings as well. You know, sometimes I hit guys, I could feel all the bone structure in their face and my fist. Sometimes it feel like, you know, slicing some thick cheese. Sometimes you just don't feel nothing, you know. And in that specific moment in time, when I hit him, although I hit him on one of the hardest parts of his body, and that's his forehead. Out of the whole part of his head, I hit him in the forehead and was able to still, you know, knock him out. And you would think you would feel something, or a broke hand or something like that. That's almost like comparing to hitting a wall. But the only thing about the wall don't hit back. And it was crazy, because when I hit him, I didn't feel absolutely nothing. And, you know, of course, it's like I've knocked out guys over 40-something times, so I automatically know when I hit him and a certain thing happens, you know, I know that it's over, or I go to the neutral corner. So, you know, it's just an amazing feeling just to be in this type of sport, where it's a combat sport, and be able to, you know, entertain people by knocking another guy out and just going through the experience with your own body of what it feels like to receive punches or even deliver punches. And, of course, I like to be the one on the delivery end instead of the receiver.
No doubt. Deontay Wilder is joining us. You know, it seems to me also, when people focus on that great, great punching power, it is easy to ignore your strategy. And as you point out, you were setting him up. There was strategy. Mm-hmm. So when you fight, what should people watch to help them appreciate your strategy?
I mean, I think at this point, I think like my style is what it is, and I think people is gonna take away from what I've been displaying all this time. Like, I'm 42-0 with 41 KOs. Like, all this time, people have been waiting on the knockout. That's what they do now. They just wait. Like, people look past my skill level. I have great skill level. The way I think in there. You know, and they say boxing and boxing styles make fights, and that's so true. Everyone can't have one-on-one fundamental skills of boxing, throwing the proper right hand, throwing the proper jab, throwing the proper left hook that comes behind the right hand. You know, if every fighter had the same technique and style, boxing would be a boring sport. No one would want to watch it, but because of the styles and different styles and uniqueness of the styles, that what makes it exciting, and that what the matchmakers have fun with, because of the different styles of it. And with my style, it just, I'm the first of my kind. No one has never seen such a style that I possess, that I have. So with this whole time, like, people have been been so used to me just knocking people out. So when they come and see me fight, that's the main. They don't even see the skill. They don't even see that you have to set a person up with the jab to come with the right hand, so they don't see the right hand. You have to be able to put enough torque and enough torque and twist on your hips as well as your legs to get that full momentum of power to come in. And then after that, the hook follows behind with a torque or a twist of your front legs and your hook. Like, all that things take skill. It takes time. And even with power, like, people look at me and say, oh, he just have power. He's just a one-hit type of person. That's not true. Power is just only the perch that comes with those skills that's behind it. Because even with power, I have to have eye coordination. I have to have angling and positioning. And I you know, I got to have timing to be able to throw that powerful punch and even land on my opponents. If I cannot do that, then my skill level is very low. But as we can see, like I say, women lie, men lie, but numbers don't lie. And I've done that the best. I'm the hardest hitter puncher in boxing history. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a set of skills. It's different. It's unusual. But I'm unique, and that's what's special about me. My grandma said I was anointed by God years ago. And I'm only letting this little light of mine shine.
Deontay Wilder joining us on the program. All right, before I let you go, champ, then there's Tyson Fury. And there are reports that there may be a rematch on February 22nd in Las Vegas. So you've always said that you learn every single time you get in the ring. What did you learn from that first fight that you could apply to this one?
Yes. It was an amazing fight. It was a point in time in my career where, you know, I was battling with so many different sports, especially being in America where we have so many different, you know, sports that's going on. And I feel like that particular time in history, I had that special moment to myself. I had a point in time where everyone was paying attention. I had my own date. No other sports was going on. Nothing else. It was just boxing. It was just me. And I had an opponent that could sell the fight with me as well, you know, a guy from the UK. So at that point in time, I got so excited. I was like, oh, my God, this is my time and my moment. Heavyweight boxing in America is back. It's here. And I know I'm the man for the job to keep it even more exciting and entertaining. So in my mind, it's like, I got to do something spectacular. I got to do something dramatic. It got to end with a knockout. But at that same time, it was like, why force something? It's like, but it was way later after the fight. I wanted to knock him out so bad. I wanted to get the fans, the people, something, you know, especially newcomers, people coming back. But is it heavyweight boxing back? Oh, who is this guy? Wow. I want to see what he's about. So when you come to see this fight, I wanted you to leave with no doubt in your mind that we will come back to see the next fight over and over again because this guy is so excited. And I wanted to knock him out so bad that I tried. I did something that I know that if I do it, it don't happen. At least it doesn't happen when I want it to. But I know if I calm down and let my hands go and let me do what I do, get in my groove and my tone of pace and do my own thing, that the magic happens. And I forced it into the last end of the 12th round when I just let my hands go, let me do what I do, got comfortable, boom, boom, bam, baby, good night. I tell my fighters, you have to be perfect for 12 rounds. A guy like me only had to be perfect for 2 seconds. And that's what makes it exciting. So this time around, the only thing that I could change up is being more patient. I have all the fundamentals, the skills, and the tools that's necessarily needed to beat Tyson Fury. He's actually an easy opponent to beat. All I had to do was calm down this time. I got it. You know, that point in time, like I said, I was very excited. And I'll never take that back. I love, to feel that moment right now as describing. They say when you go back into time with your mind and describe an old past event that occurred, you still feel those same emotions. And me describing it, I feel those excitement. I feel that adrenaline that I had that night. Well, come February 22nd is going to be a different feeling, a different night for me. It's going to be a great moment in time for me. But a bad time and moment, a bad moment in time for him. I can't wait. This will be a knockout, and he may spend several weeks or even months in the hospital. But he's gonna get paid well. And this sport right here, man, it's an amazing sport that allows us to go on there and provide our service to our greatness and give people what they want to see. So that's going to be the difference in this, the first fight and the second fight. I'm going to be more patient. I felt Fury gave me all of him. It's nothing that he could do, you know, to change. He had three training camps, two warm-up, and he brought five trainers in. There's nothing else he can improve on. But for me, the sky's the limit.
Sounds to me, Deontay, like if you're patient and you let it come to you, you just give him the nothing will be over. WBC heavyweight champion of the world. He is the bronze bomber. He is the leader of the bomb squad. He defeated Luis Ortiz by knockout on November 23rd. Deontay, you and I have had some really good conversations, but none better than that. Great to have you back. Thank you very much, and you know we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, baby. Anytime, man. And always love, peace, and God bless. And bomb squad!
My man, Deontay Wilder. That's how you close a show. We're not done yet, but that's how you close a show. Man, he was good today. Guy like that, the champ makes my job easy. So much so that I can even say to him, you know what you should do, champ? If I were you, here's what I would do. I would be patient, set this guy up, and then just give him the... Except with Deontay, there is no... I mean, there is. But mostly it's just... The bomb squad. Man, he was something else. 42-0-1, I should say. 41 by KO. And he said when we do it again, when we run it back on February 22nd, he could be in the hospital for many weeks or months, but it won't matter because he's going to make a lot of money. But it's going to go very well for me and very poorly for him. That's what I love. Not only the heavyweight champion of the world, but a guy that the crown fits comfortably with. He loves being that guy. I love that. And insist that he is the right guy at the right time for the right job to bring this sport back. And I love that answer too. That I just felt like everybody was watching me that night, so I had to give them something really special and I wanted it too badly. When we come back, I'm looking to wrap the hour by going back to back to back. We had Troy Polamalu. We had Deontay Wilder. Jadeveon Clowney came up big last night. He is scheduled to join us when we return. But first, here is a sports up. Welcome back. Is this hour any good? I'm Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. We had Troy Polamalu at the top. Pittsburgh Steeler, great, future Hall of Famer. Deontay Wilder, the WBC heavyweight champion of the world. Man, if I could just get the champ to open up a little bit, loosen up a little bit, he is awesome. And we are efforting Jadeveon Clowney. I don't have him yet, so if you want to take a shot, give me a call right now, 1-800-636-8686. Quickly, an email or two. Dear Jim, I need to come clean. I've been betting on the show. But if you've given 2-1 odds that the first email will mention IRA bumming library computers, you take it. By the way, if I hit on a Ray Liotta blast today, I'm freaking rich. Sincerely, the flight deck. Casey, New Hampshire. Warn me winning big if Ike finally dies during today's show. All right, there are no prop bets on the show. There are no angles. The only betting that goes on with the show is the day of the smack-off. Sometimes there are actual odds. There have been legitimate gambling sites that have laid odds for the smack-off, where you could bet the smack-off. That was really a thing. In terms of, quote, me winning big, if Ike finally dies during today's show, you know, back in the day, like, I would say to you, there is no death pool here, but there was back in the day. That was one of the things I did back in the day. I had a jungle death pool. And I would have guys in that pool, and we'd say, I've got so-and-so. He'll be the next guy to die, probably. There was legitimately a jungle death pool back in the day. Like I said, man, this show's good now, but it was great back when we could do whatever we wanted, such as putting people in a death pool. Who you got? so-and-so over there is going to die next. Like, that was okay. That was a thing. The piece of crap club cannot believe that there was a jungle death pool. But that existed as well. The rat family cannot believe that there was a piece of crap club or a jungle death pool. And of course, there were a number of glosses and handles that really cannot believe any of this. Hey, Rome. I think that Josh Shaw did the honorable thing by mentioning his real occupation. Signed the 911 caller who called to report a drunk driver. I am him.
911.
Somebody's really drunk driving down Granton Road.
Okay, are you behind them or?
No, I am them.
You am them?
Yes, I am them.
Okay, so you want to call and report that you're driving drunk?
Yes.
Okay, what's your name?
Mary.
Are you still driving right now?
Yes.
Do you want to stop driving before you get in an accident?
Yes, I will stop.
Okay, you're going to stop right now?
Okay, I'm stopping.
Okay, just hang on the phone, okay? Are you stopped right now?
Yes, I am. Can I take my seatbelt off?
If you're stopped.
If I'm stopped.
If you're stopped, that's fine, yeah.
I'm in park.
Okay.
Can I take my seatbelt off?
Yeah, as long as you're not driving, as long as you're not moving.
Should I turn my car off and turn the flashers on?
Yep, that's fine. If you want to turn it off and turn the flashers on, so then we can find you. Okay, just hold on 1 second again, Mary, okay?
Okay.
That's insane. Like, that's not funny at all. That's really, really scary. That person was driving a moving vehicle. Man, how lucky are we that Mary did not kill anybody or herself. She calls 911. I'd like to report a drunk driver. Are you following that person? I am them.
I am them.
Yeah, it's not amusing at all. I am efforting Jadeveon Clowney. I've not found him yet. So let me open it up to you. We have a few moments left. See, this is one of those inequities in the market. This is a loophole. You can get right to the front of the line with a quick phone call. Some of you might argue, yeah, Rome, I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait an hour. I don't want to wait 2 hours. I don't want to wait all show. You might not have to wait even 30 seconds if you take advantage of the opportunity right now. This is your big chance, clones. Window swung wide open. The door swung wide open. Make a name for yourself. This is the time. It may never happen ever again. The guest might call. And he did. I got a few minutes. We're joined right now by a defensive end for the Seahawks. He is a 3-time Pro Bowler. He had a couple of tackles, a tackle for a loss, a quarterback hurry, a forced fumble in last night's win, NFC Defensive Player of the Week in Week 10. He was the first pick in the 2014 draft. The Seahawks are at the Rams on Sunday. He is hosting a Christmas charity event for his foundation and the Boys and Girls Club today. Jadeveon Clowney joins me for a few moments. Jadeveon, nice to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good, good. So after last night, really quickly, the team is 19-2 at home in primetime under Pete Carroll. What's it like to play in front of those fans with the noise that crowd makes, and how difference do the 12s make? How big of a difference?
Oh, man. It's crazy, man. That's why we're trying to get these wins, man, build up for the playoffs. When we get our home field advantage and that crowd get behind, it's hard for teams to hear. It's hard for us to hear. So with them behind us, all the energy in the building, it's electric.
You know, you were saying after the game that nobody on the sideline panicked last night, no matter what happened. When you're having the kind of season you're having and you keep coming through in tight games, how much confidence is there that you guys are going to find a way to win no matter what?
Oh, man, it's very high confidence, man. We just keep playing together and keep pinning stacking wins together. We know that all these games now are playoff games from here on out, and we just try to show up and keep playing, man, and bring that energy in the building. Like I said, it's playing a big role with our team and all the leaders stepping up and playing well, and we're playing at a high level right now.
Jadeveon Clowney joining me for a few more moments. Now, you're dealing with an injury that a lot of guys might sit out and rest and recover, but you came right back to play through it. Why was that, and how much of that is about the fact that this team could really do something special?
Oh, yeah, we're in a special situation right now. We know we got a good team, and we're going to play through it. I'm going to definitely try to do that.
Now, the thing is, you've accomplished quite a bit in the game already. You've been an All-American. You've been the number one pick overall. You've been to the Pro Bowl. As you've pointed out, the only thing you haven't done is win a Super Bowl. How much does that motivate and drive you?
Oh, it's definitely motivating. And I'm glad I'm up here. I got everybody on the team motivated. We know we hit it. And right now we're just stacking wins and saying that we're coming to build and work and put our head down and keep on going because we know we got what's ahead of us and we're trying to get home field advantage and lead into the playoffs.
Now, I know you'll tell me you're only focused on the next thing and you can only focus on the thing in front of you, but is this a team that feels like it can win a Super Bowl? Is it Super Bowl good?
Definitely, man. I think if we just keep playing at a high level and keep believing like we do and just keep coming to play, we all feeling it. We all feeling that energy. We all feeling that every week, like, oh, we got this. And we know we're headed. And just keep playing the way we're playing. I think we can do something special here.
You know, when you arrived in Seattle, Russell Wilson tweeted about how pumped he was to have you as a teammate and know that you were not going to be chasing him around anymore. As somebody on the defense, in fact, speaking for the defense, how much confidence does it give you to know that you've got Russ out there making the plays that he makes and working his magic?
Oh, man, I'm very confident in him, man. I see how he works at practice. I see how he approaches week throughout the week. His preparation, knowing the way he prepared for a game and get going. Like, I don't ever worry when I watch him out there play. I'm a big fan of Russ. I was a fan before I came. And I'm just glad to be on the team.
Jadeveon Clowney, my guest. So you and your foundation are hosting a Christmas charity event with the Boys and Girls Club today. It's something that you did each year in Houston. What is it all about? Why is it so important to you?
It's so important. It's about underprivileged kids that grew up in single-parent homes. I grew up in that situation. My dad was incarcerated, so I wanted to do something and to give it back to the kids that came up the way I did.
So how much fun do you have at the event? And then when you see the impact that it has on kids, what kind of an impact does that have on you?
It's good, man. You know, anytime you can give back to people that's in need, that's a special thing. And just to see the smiles on their face when they're just going around picking up stuff that they want, and you just tell them, put it in the basket, we're going to give it for you. It's a great thing, and people smile and stuff, and I look forward to it every year.
That is a great thing. He is hosting a Christmas charity event for the foundation and the Boys and Girls Club today. Jadeveon Clowney was the first pick overall in 2014. I was thinking about it, Jadeveon. You and I haven't spoken since you came on my Showtime show back in the day, so it's good to have you back. Thanks so much for doing that.
Hey, man,
good luck today. You have a great day. Nice job. Well done. Jadeveon Clowney. The Seahawks look really good. They find ways to get it done. Huge call brought to you by Michelin Endurance XT Silicone Wiper Blades. If you have got plans this weekend, be sure that you're prepared with the windshield wipers that can handle anything. Michelin Endurance XT Silicone Wiper Blades are real-world proven for extreme weather performance. They last 2 times longer than other blades. New Michelin Endurance XT Silicone Wiper Blades, available only at Walmart. That's a good show now. A lot of content. My thanks to the 2-time Super Bowl champ, Troy Polamalu. The WBC heavyweight champ, Deontay Wilder. Former number one pick overall, Jadeveon Clowney. Not only all three of them on the show, all three of them in the same hour. That's what you get when you listen to The Jungle. My thanks to the XR40i crew. You clones. We'll be back tomorrow with a ton of show. Thank you for listening. See you then. We're out.